So I want to first just wish a Seitzach Lim Shalom to the Chevra, Baruch Hashem, a lot of the Chevra in the room that's going to be heading back to Eretz Yisrael this week. Halavai Bez Hashem, it should be all of us. Bez Hashem. The Geula B'mehera B'yameinu. But those who for sure already have their tickets and are ready to go should have tremendous, tremendous Hatzlacha. Mamish to utilize every single moment of the tremendous matana that Eibishta gives you to be zoicha to sit and learn Torah in Eretz Yisrael. Meirat Hashem, we should greet you there together with Mashiach b'mehera b'yameinu.
Amen.
All the learning tonight is going to be Le'il Nishmas, a very big tzaddik, a very special person. Those of us that were together last week, we spoke about David Elephant, David Yonason ben Eliyahu Menachem, Zatzal. But unfortunately, it was Nifter on Shvi Shal Pesach. You know, this past Tuesday, Achron Shal Pesach, a lot of us had the schus to be together towards the end of Pesach, to be together for Sudas Mashiach. And it was mamish of the highest of moments. It was super special. I felt the ruchnius, felt the kedusha, the yearning for geula, the yearning for Mashiach. And then immediately afterwards, I heard from Daniel. I spoke to Daniel. And heard them. Unfortunate news of the patira of his father. You know, as I said last week, you can get more. Tell them to go into the garage. In the back of the garage, there are lots of chairs. David Yonason, David Elephant, was mamish. He wasn't a pillar of this community, he was the pillar of the community. As we mentioned, probably not a shul or not a yeshiva that's been built recently that he wasn't a crucial role, very, very much an integral part. And the emes was hardly a person in his neighborhood didn't feel that he was their best friend. And everything he did with little or no fanfare. He could have been doing the biggest chesed in the world, the smallest chesed in the world. To him, it's just that's what it was to live. Who's going to continue to drive the Rebbe everywhere the Rebbe needs to go? Every simcha. Who are people going to call when they need advice, when they need help? I was telling the family last night a story. A few years ago, when I was in my old house, it was in the summer, maybe 4 or 5 years ago already. It was a Friday morning, Erev Shabbos Kodesh. I remember well, it was a Friday morning, because after a Thursday night shir, when Thursday nights go to sleep very, very late, I was woken up very early. Maybe 6 in the morning, six, okay, it's not so early for me, it's early after Thursday night. And my wife wakes me up, and she says, look up, what's going on? The entire house is full of smoke. Mamish, the entire house is full of smoke. It was a little bit strange, the smoke alarms didn't go off, the smoke alarms are working, but didn't go off. And it was a weird color smoke, it wasn't a dark smoke, it was all like a white smoke. The entire house is full of smoke. So we immediately And it didn't smell like, we didn't smell any burning, and we didn't, nothing felt hot. But we immediately get all the kids out of the house. It's early in the morning. We get everybody. My wife drives them all to my parents' house. And we call the fire department to come over. And the fire department comes with their trucks. Chvesnish, you know, tons of cars and tons of firemen and fire trucks. And they come into the house and they open all the windows and they air out the house and they're looking over. They're in the house for an hour. For an hour, going through the whole house, checking out, checking things, making sure. And I'm outside. I'm just waiting. And then eventually the fire chief was there. The fire chief comes out and he says to me, "Okay, we aired out your house. It's safe to go back in. Everything's okay. You can go back in. Don't worry." So I look at him and say, "Okay, well, what was the problem? Where did the smoke come from?" He says, "I have no idea." I say, "You have no idea where the smoke come from? And you want me to go back in my house? I'm not going back in my house." So call my wife. She thinks it's one big joke. We're not bringing our kids back into our house. It just smoked up. I'm telling you, the entire house was smoke. So they say, "You were just in there for an hour, all your men. Where's the smoke?" I have no idea, but I'm telling you, it's safe. It's no problem. I said, "You're telling me it's safe. I'm not going back in." And then the fire say, "But we're leaving. We checked. There's no problems. No electrical problems. Well, everything's cool. There's no heat in the house. We checked. They have all their, they have their special... They bring in all these special equipment to test the air, to test for echvesnitz, all different things that it could be, any types of gases." "It's safe, it's fine." And they leave. So I call my wife, I call Shandy, I'm like, "What are we going to do?" So she says, "I don't know, figure it out, I don't know, but I'm not going back in." So right away I think the only thing I can think to do is to talk to David. Like, the only one I can think of that would help and would know anything. So... See, David used to, I don't know why he did this, because, I mean, he used to daven every morning, in the summer I daven in the shtibel every morning, and I used to daven every morning 8 o'clock. He would daven 7 o'clock. Some mornings, him and a few other men would learn with the Rebbe some mishnayos afterwards. But otherwise, after davening, he'd daven 7 o'clock, but he'd always talk, him, Mr. Rubel, Mr. Daniel, they'd all just stand outside talking. Every single day, but they talk for at least an hour. Like, I'd finish 8 o'clock davening, I'd walk into davening and say, "Good morning to David, and how you doing, what's going on?" And then I'd walk out of davening, and he's still standing there. So I'm not sure why he woke up to daven 7 o'clock, he could have davened 8 o'clock already. Every morning, the same thing. Every single morning. So I ran over, I knew David's there, because that's where David always was in the morning. He's always in his shul that he built for all of us. And I go, "David, you gotta help me out. I don't know what to do." He comes over right away, of course. He comes over, he says, "Okay, let me see." I think it was probably 3 minutes. Maybe 4. And he explains to me exactly what the issue is. And of course, then telling me how stupid all the firemen are. And explained to me how simple it was for him to figure this out. And basically, the fan on my central AC blew a little bit, and that's why it was blowing all the smoke through the vents into the entire house. But it was a small fire that immediately went out, and that's why they didn't know. But he figured it out within 3 to 4 minutes. Then he had his air conditioner guy, Charlie, by me within a half hour. It's Erev Shabbos in the middle of the summer. I would not have known who to call, who you could get over. Fixes the whole thing, good to go, we're perfect already for Shabbos. Only David. If it wasn't David, we wouldn't have ever gotten back into the house that summer. It would have been it. You know, we would have had to. I mean, we moved now. We would have had to move 4 years ago. I mean, that's what it would have been. At another situation, maybe it was a year ago. Can't really give the details. I don't want to give the details that it should be meforsim who we're talking about. But there was someone came over to me. And they came over to me to discuss, because a cousin of theirs was in a really serious dispute. It was like an emotional, financial type dispute with somebody that they knew I knew a little bit. Now, and they were working on this dispute and trying to figure out the issue, like mamish, like 6-7 months already. Big rabbanim were involved. I'm talking big talmidei chachamim, trying to help out, trying to work it out. So this guy comes to talk to me about it. Maybe I could help in some way. Now, it was a guy that I knew, but I wasn't really close with him. I didn't know how I would help. But right away, what do I think? Who could help? Of course, David. David happens to be a very close friend of this guy. So I call David up. I tell the whole situation to David. With him, he says to me, okay, no problem, I'll take care of it. The next day, it's completely taken care of. For 6-7 months, they're trying to work this out. Big Rabbanim, the next day, it's taken care of perfectly. Mamish, what a loss for this world. And I'm going to tell you something, and one of his son-in-laws is sitting right here, Tzvi. With all he did for this world, for all he did for every individual in this community, both on a bigger level that people that we all benefit from, on a small level for smaller families, whatever was needed, and nonstop, 24/7, with all of that, his family came first. With all that, his children was his ultimate love, his care and his love for his son Daniel, who I'm so close to all three of his daughters, to his two son-in-laws. It had no bounds. I'm going to tell you something. Like, Baruch Hashem, I have this chus to be close to a lot of Talmidim who I love very dearly, and I have parents who call me all the time to talk about their children. Most of the time, once those children get married, so I don't really hear from the parents too much anymore. Finished. You know, you don't hear from the parents about their children because they're independent, they're married, they're doing their own thing. David, I don't know, maybe not a week, not a second week would go by. He's not calling me to discuss his children. Because to him, this was his life. Now, Levi, we should all follow in such footsteps to learn what it is to be there for other people and give of oneself in such a deep way, but also understand that your family is most important. So this was the news we find out minutes after Pesach. Minutes after Pesach. So how does one react? How does one... We just go through this beautiful Yontav Chag HaAmunah. Last week we spoke all about Amunah when we had the Nez Galoy of David last week. And hear this terrible, tragic news. Right after Mamish, I found out the minute after Meiruv spoke to Daniel before some of us together. I don't know if you knew I knew yet. Before I made Abdullah. So late that night, I spent a lot of time with the family that night, but then I was back here. I was sitting in, and I was thinking about this. How does one go from Mamish, the high of Geula, of Amunah, of Chag HaPesach, to such a tragedy, such difficulty? How do you deal with such a thing? How do you deal with such news? So I thought to myself, the Ribbono Shel Olam, Melech Ma'achem Lachim, understands and knows and orchestrates every little thing that happens in this world. And I think it was pump at that moment. If such a tragedy is going to happen, I don't know how to say this the right way, not Chas V'Shalom to say opportune, there's no good time. But there was no better time throughout the year than to happen right when Pesach ends. Because after we went through a Pesach, and we built such a Muna and such, I hope, closeness to Hashem, it's the only time of the year when such a tragedy could happen, and I could honestly still be able to say, Baruch Dayan Emes. I could honestly say, even though I have questions, and I don't understand why, and it's not, doesn't seem to me, or to his children, fair. And those are right complaints in ways that on our level, in the way that we see the world. But after a Chag HaAmunah, and after building our belief and our connection to Hashem, at least I'm able and equipped after a Pesach, and only after such a yontif, to say, Baruch Dayan Emes. I know, I don't understand, but I believe. I don't know why, but I know it's Emes. And thus is what each and every one of us has to say when we go through difficulties in life. So let's learn tonight, Lila Nishmaso. David Yonis and Ben Liel Menachem, that's what he would want for all his children and all that loved him to do, just to move on and continue to grow and continue to do and not stop. He never stopped about anything. Any difficulties in life, he just kept on going. Because that's why we're in this world, to keep on going. So Mirat Hashem, the Torah that we learned tonight should be Lila Nishmaso, should be Zoicha, to be Meil Tishosh, Yosha for all of us and all loved him. Mirat Hashem, we zoicha to be connected and reconnected with him, with Mashiach, with Chias HaMeis, and Makarav Mamash. Over Yantav, I was learning Kedushas Levi. And I saw a Torah, Mamish, that I've been living with every single moment since Pesach. It's in the end of his drashas on Pesach, Drushim LePesach. And he asked there a very simple question that we all have, should have asked ourselves at some point in our lives. We all know and we connect the Yontav of Pesach and the Yontav of Sukkot. Tazvav, Tazvav. There are a lot of deep connections between Pesach and Sukkot. Our two long Yomim Tovim of the year. So why is it that when it comes to Sukkot, Sukkot, as we know, is 8 days long. I'm not talking Tzveka D'Yoyma here, Chutzal Arts, but the way it's supposed to be, the way it is in our Tzrol, 8 days long, culminating with the Shemini Atzeres, comes Pesach, 7 days. Where's the Shemini Atzeres of Pesach? Why is there no Shemini Atzeres of Pesach? Now what do we know Shemini Atzeres is all about? Kosher Lachef Yidaschem, Kodesh Baruch Hu says to us that Mamish, we had the schus to have these beautiful days together where we're so close. That's what Yontav is, to be a Mayed. Mayed means to be meeting up with Hashem. And we had all these beautiful days. It's difficult to separate, separation anxiety. We don't feel that as well at the end of Pesach. We didn't feel as well at the end of Pesach that we don't want to leave Pesach. If we didn't feel that way, we weren't celebrating Pesach. So we don't need a Shemini Atzeres at the end of Pesach as well? Why is it that Sukkot is 8 days long and Pesach is only 7 days long? So, Chavri, you ready? Listen to Kedush Levi. Mamish tremendous. Mamish tremendous. And you have to live with this Kedush Levi every single day of these very special days of Sfiras HaOmer. He says as follows. He says, Yontav is a time, yes, to get close to Hashem and develop a deeper kesher l'Kadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu's on Yontav, giving tremendous shefa, tremendous influence, bracha, and simcha, and ruchnias to the world. How does HaKadosh Baruch Hu give the shefa to the world? So this is deep and a little bit Kabbalistic, but it should be something we're capable on some level of understanding. He says all the shefa that's given to this world is through the Zayin Midos. The Zayin Midos, as we all know, Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, Malchus. The Zayin Midos, which are connected to the 7 days of the week. And he's giving this shefa, and he's giving this ruchni, and he's giving, giving, giving. He's giving, giving, giving. And that takes 7 days. 7 days of shefa connected to these Zayin Midos. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving, giving, giving. But in any real, deep, true relationship, one side of the relationship is going to be giving. But for the relationship to work, the other side has to accept that which is giving, right? If the other side is not accepting it, is not mekabel, then it's meaningless, and it goes for naught, it goes to waste. One of my Talmidim was telling me today, story, okay, this Talmidim, you know, in the high school years, you share crazy stories, you tell your Rebbe, I don't know why, but whatever it was. One of my Talmidim, he's telling me today, this guy is a regular modern Orthodox young man, high school teenagers, we can remember those years. He tells me his family went to a very yeshivisha Pesach program. Now, I don't know how yeshivish it really was or not. You know, in his eyes, it was very, very yeshivish. That could probably mean that people wore yarmulkes, you know, I don't know, please. But anyways, Lameisa, in his eyes, it was very, very sheevish. So, he says to me, Rebbe, these frum girls, they dress very sneers, very, very, very beautiful. He's telling me they're very, very beautiful. And there was one girl that he thought was very, very beautiful. Okay, shkoyach, whatever, he's a teenager, okay, it's healthy. He says, so, I wanted to talk to her, but she's like from this yeshivish, shechvesnish, plapish family. I'm, you know, from the five towns, modern Orthodox. So he says, one night, it was late at night, maybe 2 o'clock in the morning, by the lobby, and he sees that girl sitting all alone. And the chvesnish, she's on her phone or something. So he decides, you know what, I'll give it a go. So he goes and he sits down right next to her. He says to me, Rebbe, you know, I talk to girls, I have relations with girls. I've never been so nervous in my life to talk to a girl. I was mamish nervous. And I sit down, I introduce myself, and ask her name. But it wasn't going anywhere. You know, it was very clear. This wasn't going anywhere. It wasn't going to go anywhere. She was having nothing of it, let's just say. She was having nothing of it. And that he was trying to give, he was trying to create and develop, there was no Kabbalah. There was no Kabbalah, there was no Kli Kibbul on the other side. So Kachave, if you want to have a relationship, it takes two to tangle, right? Meaning, Lemaisa, one side's giving, one side's being Makabal. One side's being Makabal. So it's the Eibishter, Lahavdil, 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 to get back to real life for a second, Chevra. But the Eibishter on Yom Tov is giving, giving, giving. And for 7 days, Kineged is Ayamidos, he's giving us Shefa, come Sukkot. So what's on the eighth day? Eighth day is called Shmini Atzeres. Atzeres means stop. What it means? Stop means it's a Zman, the Shlevi explains, to be Mikla, to gather in, and it stops, all the Shefa stops, and I gather all in, and it's a day of Kabbalah. It's a day that represents my acceptance of all the Shefa, of being able to internalize and connect to all that Hashem was giving me throughout Yom Tov. That's what Shmini Atzeres is. So he says, when it comes to Sukkot, listen, Chevra Mamash, tremendous words from the Kedush Levi. When it comes to Sukkot, we just went through the Heilige Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah, and went through Aser Shmei Tshuva, and went through Yom Kippur, Mamish, Kodesh, Kedoshim, we're all Tahar Kemalach. And then we come to a Sukkot and we celebrate Sukkot. I'm on the highest level of Ruchnis all year. Kodesh Baruch Hu gives and gives and gives for 7 days. I'm a Kabbal, I'm on a level to be a Kli Kibbul. I'm on a level that I'm fit to be the Kli Kibbul. Comes Pesach, so that's Shmini Atzeres. Comes Pesach. Comes the Heilige Yom Tov of Pesach. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu for 7 days of Pesach also is giving us Shefa, is giving us Kedushas, giving us Amunah, giving us Ruchnis, giving us Simcha. But what do we know by Pesach when we left Mitzrayim? We all know we're in the 49th level of Tumah. We're the lowest of low. Ain't no roi to be a Kli Kibbul. We weren't fit to accept all the Shefa of Pesach. So we need the days you may sphere us home. We can't have a Shmini Atzeres. No, we're not right to be Makabal. So we need the 49 days of sphere us home. Connected the 49 levels that we're going to grow and work on ourselves until we are Mizakis, until we purify ourselves. And then we become fit by the Heilige Yom Tov of Shavuot to be the Kli Kibbul and accept not just the Heilige Torah, but all the Shefa and Kedusha and Bracha of Pesach. And what is Shavuot called? What's the name for Shavuot in the Torah? Atzeres. Meaning, Vadid is an Atzeres of Pesach. Vadid is a Shmini Atzeres of Pesach. But the Shmini Atzeres is not on the 8th day, but it's the 50th day. You have 7 complete weeks. 7 times 7 is 49. And the 50th day is the Shmini. 50 is connected to the 8th. After the 7 weeks, starts the 8th week. There's a Shmini Atzeres, and it's called Shavuos. That's the Shmini Atzeres of Pesach. You hear it, Kedush Levi? We can get up in Tanz to hear such a Torah. Okay, we'll hold off Shabbos Kodesh in a few minutes. So hold off. He missed last week, so he's excited. Oh. So what does that tell us about these days, Chevra? It tells us how chashuv these days of Sfiras HaOmer, that we haven't left Pesach, because all the Shefa and all the Bracha in the air. I'm still waiting to be Mekabel. But only if I'm working on myself, only if I'm growing, only if I'm becoming more roi, more fit to receive all the Kedusha that Hashem gives us. And that's these days of Sfiras HaOmer, these Heilige days of growth. Am I growing? Am I working on myself? Every single day. She said earlier, this year earlier, it's not about counting, it's about growing. You know, everybody, when we were younger, when you, Chesed, you can remember back, whether it was high school or prior to high school, at some point in your life, you know, there's all the guys, maybe it was in 5th, 6th grade, everyone's talking, you come into yeshiva, and knew you're still counting, you're still saying a bracha. Forget about you're still counting, you're not still counting. Are you growing? Are you working on yourself? Am I a different person today than I was 10 days ago? Because if not, Sfiras HaOmer is nothing. I haven't celebrated Sfiras HaOmer. I haven't counted a day of Sfiras HaOmer. What is it, lip service just to say a number? That's what the Eibishter wants. It's so important to him that we say a number. I have to make a bracha on saying a number. Really? That's what it's about? All the tefillos? Now you start to understand. What are the tefillos are connected every day. Is connected what? Chesed v'chesed, chesed gevurah, chesed tzveras. Now you understand why they have the zayamidos, because those are the zayamidos of the shefa that we're trying to connect to. Each day trying to connect to the shefa, mimizaka, that I couldn't do yet. Because I wasn't on a fit. All the tefillos that we say, the L'shem Yichud, and before and after, suddenly, Sfiras HaOmer, everybody comes Chassidish, Sfiras HaOmer. All year long, no one says L'shem Yichud. There's L'shem Yichud for every mitzvah, there's always L'shem Yichud. Lel Seder, there's L'shem Yichud. Every Kos of Yayin, every Chiyos Matzah, Chiyos Mar, L'shem Yichud. Lel Seder, I don't know from such things. Sfiras HaOmer, I'm Chassidish, L'shem Yichud. Yeah, MS, you know why? Because if not, then I think it's just accounting. I have to remember that it's about the Amkus of the growth of the Sfiras HaOmer. But in what way? What's our ikra avoida? What's our ikra avoida? A lot of drachim to explain this. We actually spoke about this last week already. I don't give a different derech. We always say here, from the Lubavitcher Rebbe, that's all, that you have to live with the parasha. So Vad, if the Rabbanu Shem gives us the first parasha of Sfiras HaOmer, it must be that the parasha is coming to teach us what these days are about, what the Teilug days of Sfiras HaOmer are about. You open up Parsha Shmini, in the beginning you talk about Nadav Naviu, you made Meluyim, a lot of halachas for Kohanim. The end of the parasha is mamish shayach for each and every yid, every single day, all the halachas of Akashras. And there's a pasuk that's a little bit strange, all the way to the end. Seemingly it's talking about the shratim, but it's the culmination of all the psukim of Hilchos Kashrus. The pasuk says, the beginning of Mafter, Perek Yud Aleph, pasuk Mem Hey, that all these, seemingly it's talking about shratim, but you could apply it to all the halachas, are Ki Ani Hashem, because I am Hashem, Hamale Eschem Eretz Yisrayim, that brought you up from Eretz Yisrayim, Liyosuchem Lelokim, that I should be for you as a God, Ve'yisim Kedoshim, and you should be holy, Ki Gadosh Ani, because I am holy. So first of all, you have to ask, and already the Gemara in Baba Siyah, Daf Samach Aleph and Bezik discusses, why specifically here, Hamal Eschem Eretz Yisrayim? When we talk about being taken out of Mitzrayim, it's always a Lashon of, Hotzeitzi Eschem Eretz Yisrayim, Yitzias Mitzrayim, Hamala, I raised you up out of Mitzrayim. What's such a special Lashon that we find specifically by Hilchos Kashrus? And what is it? How is Kashrus all overall connected to Yitzias Mitzrayim? This is Zeichus Yitzrayim to Hilchos Kashrus? So I saw from the Hilga Nesiv Shalom, the Hilga Shlodim Rebbe says something so beautiful. And I believe deeply it's the Abishim teaching us what these days are about. It says, Ki ani Hashem mal eschem eretz Yisrayim, liyos lechem lalokim, v'yisem kedoshim ki kodosh ani. V'yisem kedoshim. What does it mean to be holy? Hashem is telling us through kashrus you can be holy. So we know the famous Ramban in Parashas Kedoshim, Kedoshim to you. To be holy means kadosh atzmecha b'matur lach. To be holy means make every aspect of your life holy. To elevate whatever you're doing and make it that I'm sanctifying that aspect of my life to the Rabbanu Shalom. Not just, what the Rabbanu Shalom tells me is asr I don't do, and the chiyuvim in the Torah that I do. L'maisa, if you think about your day, and we've said this very often at this table, the chiyuvim that I have, and the abstinence from the lavim that I do, for some people, chvesdesh, outside of limud Torah, which could take up as many hours as good. How many hours a day is that? 2 hours the whole day? So much of my day is just free, it's just gray area. Kedoshim Tiyu is Kadesh Asbacha B'Matulach. Take every aspect of your life and elevate it to Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put us in Mitzrayim, most Mefarshim explain, to learn how to be an Eved Hashem. Because when I was in Mitzrayim, I learned what it is to be an Eved, what it is to serve. And I was taken out of Mitzrayim to finally be an Eved Hashem, to serve the Eibishter. What does it mean to serve the Eibishter? On one level, there are the Chiyuvim. There are the Ases and the Los Ases. But is that enough? The Rabbanu Shalom is teaching us something very deep in this pasuk, that Ki ani ma'alechem Mitzrayim, I lifted you up from Mitzrayim, not just to keep my Torah, but to be Kadosh Atzmecha B'Matzulav, to be Kadosh Ki Kadosh Ani. And that's why it's a lashon of mala. Yitzias Mitzrayim, I took Yitzias made sur meira, to take away all that's bad. But mala, to lift yourself up, is kadoshim to you, is to be holy. To be holy means I elevate every aspect of my life. And where do we see this more than when we eat? Where do we see this more than the one era of Gashmis that's so much a necessity in our lives? How do I eat? That's something that's so chol, it's so mundane, but am I elevating it? Am I mekadesh the way I eat? So specifically, Hilchos Kashrus, which is teaching me this yesod, what it really is to be an Eved Hashem. What it really is to be an Eved Hashem is not just keep taryag, but it's elevate every aspect of my life to Hashem. Living with Hashem. Am I living with Hashem every moment? And Sivashom quotes, I didn't have the time to try to find it inside. It doesn't have the exact makar here, but he quotes from the Yisoid HaAvoida, who brings down from the Rambam in Igroisov in his Egeres. I'll read it to you from here. Shadeos ha'ada machshavosav vashkavosav. The way a person thinks, the way a person has deos and machshavos and hashkafos, the outlook of life, tluyim ba'achiloso, is dependent on the way that we eat. Im ha'machalim sho'ichol heim betachlus akashrus, chein ha'ma'ochel b'yishav adas. Do we eat, obviously, with the proper halachos, but do we eat b'menuchas ha'nefesh, yishav adas, or are we stuffing our faces like mamish, like a behemoth? Are we eating achilas gasa? V'umishum shemacholim nepachim l'dam. Everything we eat turns into the blood of our bodies, and ki adam hu anefesh. We are what we eat, as people say. But we're not what we eat. We are the way we eat. Are we makadish? And that's a symbolism. That's a quintessential example of what it is to elevate the mundane. Elevate every aspect of our life. And that's Malaschem. I took you out of Mitzrayim to be an Eved and to elevate every aspect of your life, to be Kadosh. It's not just Torah, Chiyuvim. It's what does Hashem want from me at every moment of my life? I'll give you an example. I've said this example before, and it's not Baruch Hashem. I could honestly say, looking around this room, this example I'm giving is for nobody in this room on a practical level. But the Yisod, the Machshava behind it, I think is for all of us. You know, some people could pretend they don't know, but some everybody in the room knows it's a time in the year when you have the NBA playoffs, the NHL playoffs. Okay, maybe there's a couple guys that don't even know Baruch Hashem. Yeah? Okay, I don't know. Apparently there's a big Ranger game tonight. So every year, this time of the year is also very dangerous. Why is it very dangerous? Because there always comes out somehow, there are always like very big games on Lel Shabbos Kodesh. It just happens that way. I remember as a kid when I was in high school, the 1994 Stanley Cup. As we all know, the last time the Rangers won. And there were massive, these massive games on Lel Shabbos Kodesh. Some of the biggest games on Lel Shabbos Kodesh. And those who are big fans of Taivas. And as a Rebbe in high school, you always get the question. Rebbe, tell me, what's off, sir? What's wrong? I leave my lights on the Shabbos clock, I'll leave the TV on the Shabbos clock. I'm not going to touch it, I'm not going to turn it on. I have my babysitter, my housekeeper in the house, a live-in. Amir Lakum, Biramazim. Or it's Friday, it's Friday night. I don't even need any of that. It's no Shabbos clock, no maid. We're just going to keep it on. It's just going to be on. I won't go and watch during the Suda. I'll have the Suda and then it'll just be on. And the truth is, sometimes you think, on a letter of the law, halacha, pure halacha, state in Mishnah Berurah anywhere such a thing as Azar? Vadish, Mishnah Berurah didn't speak about TVs, right? So nothing, nowhere in the Mishnah Berurah. But Lemaisa, state in Mishnah Berurah anywhere it's Azar? Okay, you could handle until covered Shabbos, Einik Shabbos. So what's my answer? I don't get involved in the letter of the law. I'll tell you my answer that I give. I'll say it to this Talmud who brings up such a question. I say, tell me something. When you have a halachic shayla, you have a shayla and halacha, what do you do? He says, what do you mean, what do you do? You go to a rabbi. You go to your rabbi. And what happens when your rabbi doesn't know? So this is a teenager says, I have no idea. Then I don't know, I could do what I want, I guess, if my rabbi doesn't know. But what's the emistic terrence for us in this room? We know. There are times when we ask our Rebbe, and the Rebbe might not know, and if he's an Anov and he's an emistic person, he'll say, I don't know, and what's he going to do? We'll go to his Rebbe. I have many times when I'll call my Rebbe him, and they'll tell me I have to speak to my Rebbe. Such a nevus, such a tzaddik. Many times, you know, I've over the years, I've spoken to Rabbi Yaakov Neuberger, my Rebbe, who's Talmid Chacham on the highest of levels, holding Kol HaTorah Kula. And there are times when we've had difficult childhoods that we're dealing with together, so I have to go speak to Rav Shechter about it. So what happens? What happens when the Rebbe goes to his Rebbe, and his Rebbe goes to his Rebbe, and his Rebbe doesn't know? Oh, so then you go higher. You go Chvestish Poisek Ador. You go Chvestish Rav Chaim Knievsky, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein. Big people. They're big people, right? They're not big people. And who's above them? What do you mean? There's no one above them. You have whoever the Gedolim, you have the Gedolim, and there's no one above them. Shaker. You know who's above them? The Eibishter, B'chvoy Devatzma. And Evil Amalach. The Eibishter, who's the biggest Poisek Ador? Who knows better than anyone in the world? Any Rebbe or Rebbe's Rebbe or God, who knows better than anyone what the emesdik halach is in every dogma, in every case? What the proper halach is, the Rabbanu Shlomo. He wrote it, you know? He wrote the book. He knows it better than anyone else. So I tell my Talmud, who asked such a shaila, there are times in life you don't have to go to your Rebbe, he doesn't have to go to his Rebbe, he doesn't have to go to his Rebbe. You could just go straight to the Rabbanu Shlomo. Stop and think for one moment. Shabbos Kodesh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Matana. It's Matana. We base Gnozov. He gave us Matana Shabbos to connect Hashem, to daven, to learn, to disconnect from the mundane physical world and society and culture that pulls us so far away from Hashem. If you thought for one moment, would the Rabbanu Shlom want you or not want you to watch the Ranger game on Hillel Shabbos Kodesh? What's the teretz? Pashit shepashit. So that's your psak halacha, zehu. You have the psak from the Poisek Ador, from the Eibish Tebechoy Deva'atzmo. And that's the way each and every one of us have to live our lives, throughout our lives and everything that we're doing every single day, to be thinking about what does the Rabbanu Shlom want me to be doing? What's going to bring the Rabbanu Shlom Nachas Ruach or Chas V'Shalom, the opposite? That's Kaddishat Mechobah Mutzulof. That's Kedoshim to you. That's Ki Ani Hashem Amalas Chameshon. I took you out of Mitzrayim. Why? V'yishem Kedoshim Ki Kadosh Ani. Be like me in Kadosh in everything that we do. And Bistoma, what better way to be making ourselves to prepare for Kabbalah Torah? How did Bnei Yisrael, when they left Mitzrayim, when 49th level of Tumah, how did they crawl out of the lowest of low? What did they do? So you could say, you and I, we want to work on ourselves. We want to grow. We take a certain mitzvah. We take a certain area of Torah. We take a chves nisht, our learning. They didn't have the Torah yet. All they could do is kaddish asmachav amachalach. All kedoshim to you. That's what they did. So that's what we need to be doing. We have to just bring the Eibishter much more into our lives and everything that we do. And be walking with the Rabbanu Shlom by our side in all that we do. Be mekadesh, our relationship with Hashem. All of us in this room, I'm learned Kedushin b'stama. And what's Tosfos saying, Kedushin beiz and beiz, when it talks the Lashon of Kedushin, what's the Lashon of Kedushin? It's miyuchedes umuzemes li. Lashon of Kedushin, when one is going to be engaged, b'shatoiva, by everyone in this room, by the right person, the right time, and get engaged to a beautiful young woman. And what's going to be? Mekudeshes umuzemes lo. Mekudeshes umuzemes. She's saying, she's to me, she's miyuchedesli. She's miyuchedesli, Tosfos says. She's designated for me, only for me. Meaning my relationship is between the two of us and nobody else has a part in that. Is that what our relationship with the Eibishter is? That we're so miyuchud to the Rabbanu Shalom? That's what is mekadesh ourselves. That my whole life is Rabbanu Shalom in everything that I do. That's our voice. That's what the Rabbanu Shalom is telling us in this week's parsha. Read a story this week I want to share. There was a Yid, a tzaddik, a Rebbe, Rav Moshe Leib Feldman. He was a Rebbe in Yeshivas Or Torah in Yerushalayim. He was married to his Rebbetzin, Chai Rivka, for 19 years without children. They went to every big doctor and tried every treatment and every tzaddik and every mamish. We can't imagine the pain. You can't imagine the tzaras. 19 years. Now this year, Rav Moshe Leib, he was a big tzaddik and someone who mamish was Oyev Hashem, Yiras Elokim. There was one mitzvah that he was very meduyuk, more than all mitzvahs, he was meduyuk, but Bezrizus and mamish was his mitzvah. It was known that it was his mitzvah, Kiddush Levana. Kiddush Levana, he made sure he was Mekayim Kiddush Levana at the earliest time he could, mamish in the most beautiful ways, and the way he dived in Kiddush Levana, it was Teves and Tafshin Nunhei. About 22 years ago. And mamish that year in Yerushalayim, Teves we know is the middle of the winter, right after Hanukkah. And it was mamish those weeks in Eretz Yisrael. We've all remember those weeks we've been in Eretz Yisrael where it rains nonstop. That's the one time that you can't stand living in the old city if you were in the old city, because mamish when the stones are wet for a week straight and it's cold to your bones. We all know what we're talking about. So it was one of those times in Teves, but mamish not just for 1 week straight, 2 weeks straight, every single day and night, rain nonstop. And this yid and all the yidin are waiting to be Makadish Levana. There's no Levana. And there's never a Levana. It's just cloudy and cloudy and cloudy. But to this yid, that was his life. He couldn't go a month without Kiddush Levana. And it's coming to the final night that you're allowed to do Kiddush Levana, the 14th day of Teves. He had a friend, Chaim Weinman. Chaim knew that his friend, he knew what happened, and his friend must be suffering, not able to be Mekadesh Levana. And he goes over to his house, he says, I have an idea. Let's try to get in touch with the army bases, and they have excellent equipment detailing and making sure and figuring out the weather throughout the whole country. Maybe they could tell us, if we make some phone calls, there's somewhere in the country we could go, Taka, that's close enough we could get to tonight. We could go, that we could be Mekadesh Levana. And they start making phone calls, and Kachave, they got in touch with it, who they were told that near Chevron, if you go by Chevron, not even so far, near Chevron, so you'll be able, the weather forecast based on their equipment was partly cloudy. So they still didn't know for sure if they'd be Matzliach, but they said it's worth the chance to jump in the car. It's already late at night, and they go and they start driving, and they're in Beis Lechem on the way to Chevron. This is an old road, it's Chevron, this room probably doesn't remember. It's before your time, but it used to be from Yerushalayim, not like now where you drive through the tunnels to get to the Gush area and then past, but it used to be you'd drive right through Beis Lechem, right past Kever Rachel to get to Chevron. And they were driving right by Beis Lechem, and suddenly they look up and they see the moon. They couldn't believe their eyes. They stop the car. They get out right by Kever Rachel. They're right near Kever Rachel. And they start saying with such kavana, Kiddush Levana. They start dancing. Toivim, Yerush, they're mamish dancing. They're Mekayim the mitzvah. And then they decide they're going to go inside. They're right by Kever Rachel. They're going to have daven by Mama Rachel. And they go into Daven by Marachal, and there are a bunch of Hasidim that were there. And the Hasidim saw these two Yidden davening with such a slav, they couldn't believe that. They go over, tell us your story, tell us what the situation is. And they start talking, they become friends, and they held it. They want to become the mitzvah of Kiddush Levana. And somehow it comes out in the discussion also that this Yid, Rav Moshe Leib Feldman, didn't have any children, he was married for 19 years. And all the Hasidim get together and start davening to the Eibush, they're davening by Mama Rachel for this father to have a child. And it was less than a year later, on Yud Aleph Cheshvan, the yahrzeit of Mama Rachel, he was zoche to have his first child. When you go out of your way and you just want to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu no matter what, your whole life is serving the Eibishter in such a way. But I was thinking about the story, why specifically Kiddush Levana? What is Kiddush Levana? Kiddush is a Lashon B'Makadesh. The Levana is mamish as mundane it could be. It's just some planet up there that's just itself, it doesn't have any aura, it has no ruchni, it's dull, it's dead, it's all nothingness. But I'm Kiddush Levana, I mean I'm Makadesh even the Levana. I'm Makadesh every aspect of my life. And I'm Zoyche the Shefa and Bracha for the Eibishter. Bez Hashem is Baruch, every single one of us. As we're already 10 days into Sfiras HaOmer, during these special days, as we learned from the Bedichever, that we have to be working ourselves, we have to be growing, we have to be helping ourselves become that Kli Kibbol to all the Shefa that Rabbeinu Shlom is sending us. We should be Zeichet to big days of growth, big days of Hatzlacha, big days where we become big people. Learning tonight, as we said, Neschus Lila Nishmas, David Yonison, Ben Elio Menachem, David Elephant. I'll tell you one last thing about David. David didn't stop doing one moment. Not one moment of his life. Everyone in this room, we shouldn't stop one moment working on ourselves, looking to grow, looking to help others, looking to grow closer to Rabbeinu Shalom. And that tzchus will become the Kli Kibbol that we're talking about. To makabel the Torah and all the Shefa from Pesach, Bikdusha v'Tara, and to be zoicha to the ultimate Ula, to get the Tchias HaMesim, and here we be Amenu, Be'ez HaShem HaSparach.
Amen.